This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, friends. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Haba'am. Continuing our Shurim on Sefer Devarim. Our Shurim on Sefer Devarim are dedicated by Dr. Zakheim and Mishachle Elinishmas of Shalom Eliezer and Rav Yaakov Zakheim, Rivka Bas Tuvia Halevi, and Rav Dov and Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyin Vagan Eden Te'emenu Chasam. Sefer Devarim is again generously sponsored by my dear friend Rabbi Isaac Yosilovsky, Schus for Shalema, for Yafa, Malka, Esther, Basleya, Shavar for Shalema, Besach Shachale Yisrael. Tonight's share is dedicated by Rabbi Ari and Michelle Jacobson, Le'ilo Nishmas, Rabbi Alter Avraham Doiv ben Harav Aryeh Leib Jacobson, whose yahrzeit is the 28th of Av. It's also my grandfather's yahrzeit, the 28th of Av. And Le'ilo Nishmas for Yitzchak Ben Reb Chaim Aaron Jacobson, whose yahrzeit is the 30th of Av, who were students of scions of the Vilna Gaon. So tonight we're going to talk about Vilna. Tonight's show is also dedicated, Zuchos for Shlema, for Malka Bas Dina. Tonight's show is dedicated by my dear friend Reb Avi Tachman, for Shlema, for Moshe Tzvi, Ben Miriam Ruchama, Hishav for Shlema, Besor Shachal Yisrael. Okay, we have a really fascinating topic tonight, which is somewhat connected to Parshas Re'eh. And we're going to go back about 200 years. We're going to go back to the city of Vilna. Vilna was Ir Ve'im B'Yisrael, it was one of the great Jewish cities. Of course, that was the city of the Vilna Gaon. And since shortly after the Vilna Gaon, they decided that never again would they have an Av Beis Din in the city of Vilna. Instead of having an Av Beis Din, the role would be filled by a Moira Tzedek. A Moira Tzedek is like a Dayan. But there would never again be an Av Beis Din. The Vilna Gaon shoes could never be filled. And there could be many Moira Tzedeks in a city. There could be as many as 50 Moira Tzedeks in the city. However, everybody knew who the acclaimed Talmud Chacham was, but the role Moira Tzedek was a vast role. There could be many, many people who filled that role. But there was another important position, and that was the position of Moira Tzedek Magid Meisharim. Moira Tzedek Magid Meisharim. Moira Tzedek Magid Meisharim meant you're the speaker of the city. Shabbos Hagadol, you give the drasha. Shabbos Shuvah, you give the drasha. Parsha Zohar, you give the drasha. Somebody passes away, you give the drasha. There's even a joke about Moira Tzedek Magid Meisharim, who was, you know, he was an excellent speaker when he was able to prepare. And there, so every time he gave a Shabbos Hagadol drasha, he knocked it out of the park. The problem was with the Levayas, he always struck out because he didn't have much time to prepare. So what he started to do was he decided to write a hesped for everyone in the city in advance. Vayihi hayoim, Hurricane Aaron came, and a big wind came and blew his files into the city street, and people were walking down the street and they were reading their hespedim. Actually, my father had a Rosh Yeshiva. He would say, for a son-in-law, money he doesn't have, but a good hesped he could give him. He was a professional masped. He was a professional master. You know, the old-time Lithuanian Rosh Yeshiva, they had a special niggin that they gave their hesped. We're going back now about 200 years, and it was the time of the Maskilim. Now, the Maskilim were those who were influenced, let's call it, by the Enlightenment movement, not to be confused with the Haskalah movement of Germany, which was founded by Moses Mendelssohn. We're now talking about the Haskalah movement in Lithuania, which came many decades later, and one of the leading members and founders of the Haskalah movement in Lithuania was someone by the name of Mordechai Aaron Ginsburg. Mordechai Aaron Ginsburg. It's a name that it's worthwhile to be familiar with. It was not mentioned in your Masifta Shir or in Beis Medrash, but for your own historical record, Mordechai Aaron Ginsburg, one of the head maskilim in Lithuania, he passed away. What's Reb Zev going to do? Reb Zev Wolf is the Magid Meisharim. He has to give a hesped for this maskil. Now, he's not used to giving a hesped for maskilim. He's used to giving hespedim for traditional Tamid Chachamim, traditional Jews. So he demurred. He said, you know, he can't make it. He's not going to give the hesped. So the people in the city said, You're not a chassidish rebbe. There's not a shtibel. You're employed by the city. This is your job. You have to give a hesped. It doesn't matter. He meets your standards. He doesn't meet your standards. You know, if you work for the city, you got to pick up, you know, you got to pick up the garbage. So it doesn't matter. You like the guy, you don't like the guy. You got to be masped him. So he had no choice. He had to give this guy a hesped. So he doesn't know what to do. I actually first heard this story from a great historian, Professor Schneer Lyman. But the version I'm telling you is slightly different. The version I'm telling you comes from a Sefer Sarei HaMeir of Yehuda Leib Maimon, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Maimon. And it's basically the same version. And, you know, rabbis, they could maneuver anything. They could make east and the west, north and the south. You know, with lamdos, you could present anything in any... So, nobody knows, what is this Rabbi Zev going to say about Mordechai Aaron Ginsburg? So he gets up and he says over the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Tzadik Avad Ve'enish Samalev. The righteous man has been lost and no one's paying attention. So the people were shocked. The Maskilim were shocked because he's calling him a Tzadik. And the traditionalists, the Prushim, were shocked that why is he calling him a Tzadik? So everybody is shocked that Reb Zev used this terminology, Tzadik Avad, Ve'enish Samalev, for Mordechai Aaron Ginsburg. But then he said, you know, this year, there were many, many great Rabbanim who passed away in Vilna. Rebbe Pliny Almoini, and he gave a 15-minute hesped for Pliny Almoini. Rebbe Yankel Ben Beryl, and he gave a 17-minute hesped for Yankel Ben Beryl. Rebbe Shimon Ben Yochanan, and he gave a 40-minute hesped. And he proceeded to give hesped after hesped of all the great Rabbanim who passed away in Vilna in the past year. And he said, and of course, Mordechai Aaron Ginsburg, Bila Maves LaNetzach U'Macha Hashem Alekim Dima Me'al Kalpanim V'Noimar Amen. The Maskilim were going out of their kalim. He just whitewashed, he just threw Mordechai Aaron Ginsburg under the bus. He was maspid every guy with a beard, even a 1-inch beard, a 2-inch beard, every heavyweight, lightweight Talmud Chacham. Mordechai Aaron Ginsburg, he just got his name mentioned. They were up in arms. So, then the heir apparent to the Haskalah movement, and who later is known as the head of the Haskalah movement in Lithuania, he's somebody by the name of Adam Levinson. So, you ever hear of him? Please say yes. Say yes. I read the introduction, the historical preface to the Sefer Tzipisa Lishua, where he's mentioned, by the way. Don't think that this is, I'm done with this. You think, you know, you thought I just started this year. No, if you didn't get it yet for the 3 weeks, you have to get it for Chodesh Elul. If you've looked in the introduction, real tshuva is being mitzapel Yeshua. This is critical for the month of Elul. Also to understand tonight's shir. Also, for Elul, make sure you get The Mystery and the Majesty. It's available in English. It's available in Spanish. It's available in French. And in 20 days, it will be available in Portuguese. You could go to Brazil and you could get it in Portuguese. And you'll tell me which one is the best. Back to Adam HaKohen Levinson. Who is this guy, Adam HaKohen Levinson? Adam is an acronym. Adam stands for Avraham Doiv Michal Shaker. And that was his acronym. Avraham Doiv Michal Shaker. I actually saw a sefer with his name in the title page, a sefer that he wrote, and it said on the title page, Avraham Doiv Michal Shaker. He became the head of the Maskilim in Vilna. And he got up, and everybody thought he was going to wring the neck of Reb Zev. He said, no. Reb Zev, thank you so much, Yasher Koyach Kvoy Toirasoi, for this beautiful hesped, because now, through the context and the lens of your hesped, I can understand a passage in Sefer Shmuel Beis, Parak Aleph Beis through Hey, where it talks about the war of Shaul and Yonasan against Amalek, and many Jews were killed. And the Pasuk says that there were almost no survivors except for one little guy came back. What happened? Vihine ish ba min hamachane. A man came back from the camp and he said, thousands of Jews were killed. And not only that, Shaul was killed. And not only that, Yonasan was killed. Ad har gobaya. And David HaMelech turns to them, and he turns to the guy, and he says, "Vayomer David al Hanar." David said to the fool, or to the young man. So Adam HaKoyen Levinson said, "I never understood. He's introduced as a man, as an ish. But when David addresses him, he's called a nar. What happened to him? He lost all his prestige. Originally he's called ish, and then when David addresses him, he's called a nar." Says Adam HaKoyen Levinson, "Now I understand. You see, when this guy came back and he said, thousands of Jews died, and the king, and his son, what foolishness. The main thing is Shaul was killed. And the second main thing was Yonah's son was killed. And after that, the people, what's he doing saying thousands of people died, and Shaul, and Yonah." So originally David thought he was an ish, but after that ridiculous, empty, foolish hesped, David said, "You nar, you fool. You're making what's primary secondary, and what's secondary primary." So now I understand. From here we learn that when you... So Adam Cohen says, "Now I understand, after seeing what a fool you are, that you were maspid this rabbi and that rabbi and this rabbi and that rabbi, and then you just threw in the name Mordechai Aaron Ginsburg. I realize I thought you were an ish, but really you're an hour. Now I can understand the pasuk in Shmuel." Okay? Now, according to one version, Reb Zev stuck up for himself. According to another version, the son of the Chaye Adam got up and stuck up for him. And he said, "Let me tell you a story. You're right. This rabbi didn't do good by giving such a lousy hesped. But let me tell you a story. You know, here in Vilna, when people get married, what's a wedding? Shmorg, you could still get married without a shmorg. A Masadr Kedushin, what do you need Masadr Kedushin for? You need Edim. But the main thing is you need a Barchen. The Iker at a wedding is a Barchen. You know, the Barchen takes the name of the Chassan. He takes the gematria of the chassan's name. He takes the gematria of the kala's name. He adds it together. He multiplies it. He divides it. He subtracts it. The chassan times the mother-in-law equals this, and the father-in-law minus the daughter-in-law. And he has everyone crying and laughing. Half the place is weeping. Half the place is rejoicing. The people who were crying are laughing. He's pulling on everybody's heartstrings. And sure enough, there's this amazing wedding in Vilna, and the father of the chassan has a business partner from Berlin, and the guy from Berlin came to the wedding in Vilna, and he's hearing this chassan racketeer, he's hearing the Barchen racketeer, and jokes, and stories, and drashos, and divrei hisarus, and hespedim, and barchanos, and everyone's laughing and crying. He was the star of the show. He made the wedding. So the guy, the business partner from Berlin, goes over to the Barchen. He said, "Do me a favor. My daughter's getting married next week. Would you come to Berlin? What do you charge?" I said, "Yeah, charge. You know, it's very expensive." He said, "25 ruble." So the guy from Berlin said, "25 ruble? You come, I'll pay you 250 ruble. I'll give you a first class seat on the horse and buggy. You come to the wedding, just do exactly what you did over here." A week later, the Barchen from Vilna comes to Berlin, and he was horrendous. He was atrocious. He was awful. Nobody laughed. Nobody cried. Nobody knew what he was talking about. Not only was he bad, he destroyed the wedding. The wedding was a nightmare. Comes, the wedding's over, the Barchen says, "New pay up." He said, "I'm not paying you, ruined my wedding, you pay me." They went to the Bezin said, "Look, he did his job." So the father of the Kala said, "I don't understand what happened. In Vilna, you're no superstar, here you're terrible. What happened?" He said, "I'll tell you the truth. I never did Barchenes in Berlin before. I'm used to going to Vilna. I asked the Chassan, what's your name? Feivel, Beryl, Shmerel, Yidla, and the Kala is Esther, is Feiga, is Laya. I know all these gematrias in my back pocket. I have every numerical value. I know stories about Lithuanian Jewry, jokes, frightening stories. But I come to Vilna, I come to Berlin, they don't understand the Litvish, they don't even know what I'm saying. And then I go to the Chassan, what's your name?" He says, "His name is Henreich." "I don't know how to spell Henreich. I don't know the name. I don't know the gematria. I go to the lady. She says her name is Henrietta, Gertrude. I can't spin these names. I can't even pronounce them. But believe me, you keep inviting me back to Berlin, I'll get these names down and I'll be a superstar like I'm in Vilna." Says the son of the Chaye Adam, "Adam, he did a lousy job. He did it, gave a terrible hesped. He really disgraced Mordechai Aaron Gezer. That's because he's not used to eulogizing maskilim. He never saw a maskil die before, so he doesn't know what to say. He's used to tradition. But do me a favor. As more and more of you guys keep on dying, he'll do a really good job on you. Anyway, that gives you a little bit of a flavor for the atmosphere of the Haskalah movement in Vilna. It gives you a little bit of a background for some of these names, Mordechai Aaron Ginsburg and Adam HaKohen Levinson. And now we're going to fast forward for a number of decades later, when the Chafetz Chaim came with Sefer Chafetz Chaim. I believe he was in his 30s. And back in the day, it was not so easy to publish Svarim as it is today. Today, if you get a good publisher, they advertise your book. If you're an author, you could advertise whatever you want. You just tell people they have to get it, you know. But you should know, all authors throughout history always had to push their book. Even the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, I saw ads that Reb Shloima Gansfried put into the newspaper giving people deals to get his sefer. He said if you buy 9, you get 1 free. If you buy 90, he'll give you 10 wholesale. Okay? By the way, you know Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. You ever see Kitzer Shulchan Aruch? You know that it's Kitzer Shulchan Aruch is halachos based on for Hungarians. It's minhag ungarish. He took 3 achronim. Everybody knows Reb Yosef Karoy took 3 rishonim, the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam. The Kitzer Shulchan Aruch also took 3 achronim. He took the Chaye Adam, he took the Nesivos, and he took the Balatanya, and he took 2 out of the 3. That was his methodology. In any event, Chafetz Chaim, okay, so to publish a sefer, how in the world are you going to publish a sefer? Even back in the day, today you need a very substantial amount to be able to publish it. Back in the day, you also need it. The only thing is, back in the day, how in the world would you get it? So if you look in any sefer published, you know, about 100 or 125 years ago, you open up to the back, you see something called subscriptions. Subscriptions are, Chafetz Chaim would come to a city, he would say, Rabbi Yisai, I can't publish my book. I need to pay the printers, I don't have money. So he would get people to forward him money, and he would put their name in the back of the book. And then when the book was published, Chafetz Chaim would go back and give the people the book. In other words, he had to get a certain number of people to buy the book in order for him to publish the sefer.
In advance.
They would advance him the money, and he would have to pay them back with the svarim. He would have to go on a horse and buggy and track down every last person who lent him, you know, a few bucks. But the advantage of that is, if you have a great-great-grandfather, you could find almost any relative today on Oitzar HaChachma by typing in their name. His name is bound to come up in the back of Svarim that were published over 125 years ago. So if you know you had a relative who lived 150 years ago, you put it into the computer, you're going to find him in 5 to 10 different Svarim. Okay, subscribers. Besides subscribers, you needed haskamais. Besides haskamais, you needed to pass censorship. Now, sometimes the censorship was run directly by the Russian government, and ultimately the Russian government employed a Jewish academic who belonged to the seminar to review all the various books that were submitted for publishing. And when the Chafetz Chaim brought Sefer Chafetz Chaim, he encountered a man by the name of Joshua Steinberg. And when Joshua Steinberg sees the Chafetz Chaim, he was gnashing his teeth, because Joshua Steinberg remembered the Chafetz Chaim. Who is Joshua Steinberg? He's the son-in-law of Avraham Doiv Ber Michoshaker. He's the son-in-law of Adam HaKohen Levinson. Okay? Now, we're going to come back. When the Chafetz Chaim was a young boy, he was a Yassim. They sent him off to the Beis Medrash in Vilna. At the time, the head of the Maskilim was Adam HaKohen Levinson. And Adam HaKohen Levinson was lurking in the Beis Medrash in Vilna. He would have his eyes set on very bright young boys to try to ensnare them, to be maces them, to strike them up in conversation, persuade them to come to the seminar. And Adam HaKohen Levinson had his eyes set on Yisrael Meir Kagan. He was a very bright boy. He was an orphan. And he would strike him up in conversation. And at first, Levinson thought he was somewhat very wholesome and maybe naive. But the Chafetz Chaim was far from naive. He was a dynamo on the inside. He was very clever. And the Chafetz Chaim would speak to him politely until one time, Levinson thought he had the Chafetz Chaim. He was going to take him back into the seminar. And a certain water carrier, and this is something I mentioned, a water carrier came to the Chafetz Chaim and he warned him, do you realize who you're talking to? This guy, Levinson, is Oichel Neveloi Sutrefais. He's a heretic. You can't talk to him. And the Chafetz Chaim ran out of Vilna. He didn't come back. And the Chafetz Chaim, we'll see the rest of his life, always thanked the water carrier of Vilna for saving the Mishneh Berurah and saving Sefer Chafetz Chaim, because he was almost ensnared by Levinson. To the point where when I was in Belarus, when I was in Vilna this past May, and if you walk in the streets of Vilna, and you can look it up right now, there is a bronze, I was with Reb Shmuel, right? Remember this? There's a bronze plated statue of a water carrier in Vilna. We don't know who this water carrier was, but you can't help but think there's like a tribute to the water carrier that literally saved the Jewish people. Because had it not been for him, maybe we wouldn't have the Chafetz Chaim today. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim himself said. Now, Levinson thought he ensnared the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim ran away. Now it's decades later. Chafetz Chaim is not 13, 14 years old. Chafetz Chaim is already in his 30s. He's publishing Sefer Chafetz Chaim. And he now presents Sefer Chafetz Chaim to Steinberg. And Steinberg says, I can't believe it. This is the kid my father-in-law tried to capture. Look what happened to him. Now he's, you know, a Haredi rabbi. And Chafetz Chaim did not wear a rabbinical garb. He dressed as a Russian peasant, a Polish peasant. And Steinberg was so angry and so upset and disgusted. He said to the Chafetz Chaim, you know, you're such a bright person. Because Steinberg spent his whole life convincing the Russian government to strip the community of any signs of religiosity and traditional observance. And Steinberg said, you know, if only you would have used your intellectual prowess to advance society, look at this book. This book is about what words you're allowed to say, what you're allowed to say about other people, what you're not allowed to say about other people. And Steinberg was so rude and vicious that he attacked the Chafetz Chaim personally. He said, look at the clothing you're wearing. Look, I'm dressed in brand name designer cloaks and clothing, and I dress elegantly, and you're dressed like a impoverished peasant. You know, if only you would have done something with your life. And the Chafetz Chaim said, you think you enjoy life? I am highly suspicious that you have no enjoyment in life, and even if you do, it's very temporary. And the Chafetz Chaim said, let me give you a mashal. When I was a little bit younger, I would have to go from Lida, city Lida, back to my hometown, Mradin. Now, there are two ways to go. You could go premium express, you know, with stallions and beautifully groomed horses and a beautiful harness and upholstered chairs in comfort. Or you could go like a schlepper, you know, where you're being tossed and turned and, you know, the horses are chole haguf hanefesh, where the horses, you know, we're not even sure, are they horses or are they, who knows what they are. And the Chafetz Chaim said, look, I would always go regular coach. I would always go coach. It was less expensive. But it would take time to recover after you get home. You know, you're being storm tossed for the whole ride. And one time I'm waiting at the stop and this beautiful carriage pulls up next to me with stunning stallions. And the guy says, look, are you going to Radin? I'm going there anyway. Just hop on and give me a couple bucks. Chafetz Chaim was very happy. He would finally travel in comfort. It would take a third of the time. And he sinks into his chair and he falls asleep. 8 hours later, the Chafetz Chaim wakes up. He expected to be home already. He's nowhere near Radin. He says, oh, where are we? He says, I just had to make a bunch of stops, and then we'll go back to Lida, and then we'll go back to Radin. So Chafetz Chaim said, for this, I needed to travel in comfort. I needed to go out of my way. I'm traveling in comfort to go out of my way. I'd rather get there straight. I'd rather go coach and get there right away. So Chafetz Chaim said, you know, we're here in this world for a specific purpose. We're here in this world to amass the chosim, to be able to reap the rewards in Olam Haba. And people think that somehow if they take a detour and enjoy excessively, somehow it's going to enhance their eternal existence. They're just delaying it. They're just making things take longer. And if anything, they sometimes take such a long detour, they never get on track. Anyway, this was the encounter of the Chafetz Chaim and Joshua Steinberg, who's the son-in-law of Adam HaKoyen Levinson. Now, if you have an opportunity, take a look at the Sefer Tzipisli Yeshua in the historic preface. Because Sefer Tzipisli Yeshua, the Chafetz Chaim was not able to publish in his lifetime. In 1929, Chafetz Chaim had a son-in-law, Aaron HaKoyen, who moved to Tel Aviv. He moved to Eretz Yisrael, he moved to Yerushalayim, and he moved to Tel Aviv. And he's the author of Avodas HaKarbonos. And in 1929, he says for the first time, he's publishing for the Jewish people, Tzipisa LeYeshua, because the Chafetz Chaim was not able to publish in his lifetime due to censorship. So I was baffled, what exactly was the issue with censorship in publishing Tzipisa LeYeshua? Well, when the Chafetz Chaim met Steinberg, at one point in time, he says to Steinberg, he was talking about Goyim, and the Chafetz Chaim used the word Goyim, Lahavdil. Lahavdil. You know, because there is a Havdalah, Bein Yisrael La'amim. And Steinberg went berserk. What do you mean Lahavdil? All mankind are created equal. We're all equal. So Chafetz Chaim said, what are you talking about? The Pasuk says, I didn't make this up. Va'avdil eschem bein ha'amim. I'm going to separate you from the nation. So Steinberg says, no, that's the Amoledik, that they worshipped idols, they were pagan, but nowadays there's the brotherhood of humanity. And the Chafetz Chaim said, but the Pasuk says clearly, that even at a time when all of mankind recognizes Hashem, Klal Yisrael will always be the treasure nation. And the Chafetz Chaim would tell his Talmidim, you can only understand Havdalah if you have Das. Im ein Das Havdalah minayin. Why do we say Havdalah and Ata Chaynein? Because you need Das to differentiate. So Chafetz Chaim said, only someone who has an appreciation for Torah could understand the concept of Havdalah. So this was very interesting to me. Because you see, the censor didn't even let the Chafetz Chaim get away with saying the word Lahavdil. So you can imagine, if the Chafetz Chaim wanted to publish a sefer about the redemption of the Jewish people and the Jewish people's return from Vilna and Radin to the land of Israel, there's no way that would pass censorship, and it didn't. It did not pass censorship. And the Chafetz Chaim could not publish it. And the first publication, Tzipisa Yeshua, was in about the year 1911, 1913. There was a magazine that was published. You may have heard of it. It's called Hamodia. That existed from 1910 to 1915. Published by Eliyahu Akiva Rabinowitz, the Rav of Poltava. And even there, the Chafetz Chaim could not write it as an article. He had to submit it as a supplement magazine into the Hamodiyah. You ever see, like in the Yated, where these they have newspapers with an insert magazine? Lahavdil! Once upon a time, there was a newspaper that came out on Sundays. In the newspaper, there was the magazine, yeah? So that's what imagine the Chafetz Chaim had to publish Tzipisa LeYeshua as a magazine in a newspaper because of censorship. Now, we're going to come back to Levinson and Ginsburg. Remember, we started off with Ginsburg's Levaya. Mordechai Aaron Ginsburg and Adam HaKoyen Levinson were in cahoots. They were the heads of the Maskilim in Vilna. They did not really believe in the afterlife. So they made a deal with each other. Whoever would go first would come back to the other one and let them know, Vas titzach in the Olam HaEmes. Ginsburg died first. How do we know? Right? Levinson was at his Levaya. Now, Levinson was a Kohen, so obviously they must not have brought the beer into the sanctuary. Okay. Sure enough, one day, Adam HaKohen Levinson is walking down the street, and he's passing by the cemetery where Mordechai Aaron Ginsburg is buried. He looks toward the Matseva, and all of a sudden, suddenly, he sees Ginsburg coming out of the kever. He was gripped with terror, and he fainted. Levinson woke up, and he said he does not believe in the afterlife. He said it was just his imagination. And the Chafetz Chaim commented on that. He said, Chafetz Chaim said, people like that, they won't repent even when it hits them on the head. Now, there is a 5 or 6 volume official biography on the Chafetz Chaim called Meir Einei Yisrael. When I was actually doing research for Tzipis Yeshua, it was very difficult to find out what year the Chafetz Chaim wrote Tzipis Yeshua. So actually, I called up Dr. Lyman. He told me, I have to get Meir Einei Yisrael. Maybe I'll find in there a bibliography of all the Svarim the Chafetz Chaim wrote. There's no information there on Tzipis Yeshua. But there is an amazing story about a bacher, Rav Usher Rabinsky, who came as a young boy to learn in Radin, and when before he entered the Beis Medrash, everybody told him, you know, this is not like other yeshivas. Our Rosh Yeshiva, he doesn't give like a lamda shashir. He's a big tzaddik. He doesn't even say other people's names. He won't say other people's names. You know, like they would ask the Chafetz Chaim, we have a shir every morning at 9:15 on Sefer Chafetz Chaim. One of the things we said was, it's a good idea, don't talk about people's names. You could talk about cows, or you talk about weather. So some people in my family, they told me that every morning when one of them comes home from shul, the father says to the mother, you know, what's the humidity level? What's the barometer? You know, all the good topics are, you know, out of discussion now. Anyway, so he's all prepared to see this big tzaddik, and especially he's not going to mention any names. And Usher Rabinsky enters Radin, and the first thing to come out of the mouth of the Chafetz Chaim, it was Chodesh Elul, and the Chafetz Chaim was giving his annual Elul Shmuz, and he's listening to the words, Yatza Mipi Kayen Gadol, and all of a sudden the Chafetz Chaim starts off his Shmuz, Berka Michal Shaker. That was Adam HaKohen Levinson. So what happened? So where's the Rosh Hashiva? You know, this can't be him. He's mentioning a name. And then he said, Yemach Shemai. Yemach Shemai. He almost fell off his chair. He couldn't listen to the rest of the shmuz. All he knew was, in order to prepare himself to go to the Chafetz Chaim Shir, he needed to, you know, assimilate the idea that this man doesn't say people's names. And the first thing he hears is Chafetz Chaim says this person's name, and he says, Yemach Shemai. So after the shmuz, he goes to some of the other Talmidim, and he asks them, you know, who is this guy? And they tell him, this is the man, Avram Doiv Barka, Michal Shaker, who tried to seduce the Chafetz Chaim. Had the Chafetz Chaim not been saved from him, there would be no Sefer Chafetz Chaim. There would be no Mishneh Berurah. There would be no Machane Yisrael. And the Chafetz Chaim would say over, if not for the water carrier of Vilna, who knows what would have come of him. Nobody could imagine that the Chafetz Chaim, people think, you know, the Chafetz Chaim, he was born the Chafetz Chaim. He was born, in one hand he was holding the Mishneh Berurah, in the other hand he was holding the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. No. You know, it's to me, it's very, it has a lot of resonance with what the Chafetz Chaim himself writes in Tzipis Al Yeshua, that everyone in this world is bringing Mashiach closer. Some are doing it on the winning team, and some are doing it on the losing team. if you're learning Torah and you're doing mitzvahs, you're doing it on the winning team. If you're challenging us and you're making it more difficult for us, so you're giving us more reward, you're also bringing Mashiach closer. It's just you want to make sure you're doing it as a winner, not as a loser. It's the same thing. You know, Mishneh Berurah needed to come to the world. But part of the way the Mishneh Berurah came to the world is Chafetz Chaim had tremendous challenges as a young boy. And he had to really reach deep within the recesses of his soul and bring out the Gevura to overcome all of these challenges. So it's very interesting. Is somebody allowed to say Yemach Shemai about a Jew? Are you allowed to say? Kuf Yotes, what does it say? Kuf what?
109.
Are you allowed to say Yemach Shemai about a Jew? About a Jew. So they asked Reb Chaim Knievsky, could you say Yemach Shemai about a Jew? Reb Chaim says, yes, you know how I know?
Sure.
Usher Rabinsky from Haifa visited me in Bnei Brak. He told me about his first day in Radin. He told me he heard the Chafetz Chaim say, Yemach Shemai, about Adam HaKohen Levinson. Why? Because he wanted to make the Chafetz Chaim lose his share in this world and in the next world. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim and during the times of the Bayis Sheni, Minos spread in Klal Yisrael, and the Tzedoikim, Mehero Yoivedu, who are not Mamin Ben Tar Shabal Peh. Why did the Rambam say that? Because there's a rule from those Rasham that you suffer from, their names should be blotted out. So in the Sefer Kol Mishal Yisach, he says he once asked the Reb Chaim Knievsky, really? You're allowed to say Yemach Shemai about a Jew? What if that Jew would have died without children? Would the brother do Yibum to his wife? Yeah. But the reason you do Yibum is V'lo Yimach Shemai B'Yisrael, so as not to blot out his name. So that means no Jew is allowed to have his name blot out. So, Reb Chaim Knievsky said, there are different levels. We say Yemach Shemai, but at the same time, there's still a mitzvah of Yibam. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman would say Yemach Shemam on certain politicians that he felt were challenging traditional observance, even though they were observant Jews. It's known, the Avnei Nezer said, no, you can't say it on a Jew. You can't say the words Yemach Shemam on a Jew. The Kloisenberger Rebbe would say that even though you can't say it on a Jew, there's certain Jews that are Chayte Yumachte, you're allowed to say it about them. For example, the Shvus Yaakov would say it about Shabtai Tzvi. In any event, it's interesting that in this week's parasha we read about the worst sin in the Torah. Anybody know what the worst sin in the Torah is? The worst sin of the Torah, we do not look for any justification. Even if somebody has testimony to try to get the guy off the hook, we do not accept it. It has no admissibility. That is the sin of a mesis. Someone who is a mesis, someone who tries to seduce someone else to do an avera, that is considered the very worst sin of the Torah, that we do not justify, even if we have maybe a real witness and a trustworthy witness who could try to defend the guy, we do not defend the mesis, and it's learned out from the Nachash HaKadmoni, where Hashem asked Adam, hey Adam, why do you eat from the tree? Hashem asked Chava, why do you eat from the tree? Hashem never asked the Nachash. Hashem didn't give the Nachash any opportunity, because since the Nachash was the one who seduced Adam and Chava, it's considered such a terrible avera that there's no justification. So even though in general, we do not say that expression on a Jew, but this guy, who is trying to be Mesis, the Chafetz Chaim, he's like an exception to the rule. Adam HaKohen Levinson. But just to distinguish, if I can, I have a Rebbe, Harav Binyamin Luban, wrote a sefer, Shema Bani, where he collected different personal conversation that he had with different Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael that are maybe not so well known. For example, one of the big Rosh Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael today is Rav David Kohen, the Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron. His father was Rav Yosef Kohen. His father was the son-in-law of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. If you ever saw the Sefer Mikroi Kodesh, you know the Sefer Mikroi Kodesh? On the bottom, there are footnotes. They were written by his son-in-law, Rav Yosef Kohen. He was on a bezin with Rav Yashiv. Actually, when I learned in Eretz Yisrael, I had this chus to hear a shir from him. So Rabbi Luban writes conversations he had with Rabbi Yosef Kohen. He writes conversations he had with a great Goyen, Rabbi Shia Plachinsky. He writes conversations he had with Rabbi Meir Chadosh, Rabbi Ben Zion Brook. He writes conversations he had with Rabbi Shachni Zon, different Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. He writes that he heard from our Rosh Shiva, Rabbi Henoch Leibowitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who heard from Rabbi David Leibowitz, who is the Talmud Muvak of the Altar of Slabodka, and also the nephew of the Chafetz Chaim, that the Chafetz Chaim did not countenance people who spoke Lashon Hara about Herzl. He said, you're not allowed to. Why? Chafetz Chaim said, Herzl was not Mechaven L'Shem Avera. He didn't have a Jewish education. So, it's interesting. People think that anybody who doesn't agree with their outlook is free terrain to comment on or to criticize. No. This guy Lebenson, he tried to seduce the Chafetz Chaim. He tried to pull him out of the Beis Medrash and bring him as, you know, he was an Oichel Nevelo Yisut Treifais. Him, the Chafetz Chaim said, yeah. Now the Chafetz Chaim, as you know, was very careful not to speak Lashon Hara. But imagine this young bachur, he heads into Radin Yeshiva, and the first thing he hears is the Chafetz Chaim saying the name of this guy, and he said, Yemach Shemai. Anyway, it gives you a little bit of a picture for what those times were like in Vilna. There were not a lot of maskilim. In the whole area, I think there were 2,300,000 Jews and 150 maskilim. So it was not a big movement, but it gives you a little bit of a taste for the challenges of the time and the challenges of Chafetz Chaim had to go through. And by the way, this curse that the Chafetz Chaim put on Adam HaKohen Levinson, sadly, or that's the reality, sadly, it came true. The Chafetz Chaim would say he had no descendants. Adam HaKohen Levinson had one son who died in his youth at 24 years old. He had one daughter. Who is she married to? Joshua Steinberg, right? They had no Jewish descendants. So the curse of the Chafetz Chaim actually came to fruition. But this is the Isser of Amesis. By the way, you know, Rav Moshe Feinstein applies the prohibition of Amesis, Bizman Hazeh, to circumstances where, you know, to invite someone to come to your house on Shabbos, if you know, let's say, they're going to drive, Rav Moshe, as is well known, did not allow that, even for the sake of Kirov. Rav Moshe didn't allow it. And his rationale is, you're being a mesis. You're seducing someone in the guise of a mitzvah to be Mechal Shabbos. Now, some places can disagree with that. I'm just saying that this is a concept that is a universal concept. The concept of emesis is considered worse than other averos. You know, you have people who they try to do the right thing, or even people who always do the wrong thing, but they do it out of desire or taiva. But the emesis is like considered quintessential evil. To be so rooted in evil, to be persuading other people into taking them away, that's...
So to invite somebody for a Shabbos meal.
Anyway, I'm going to answer that. Okay. Have a good night, everyone. Bracha v'atzlacha, and Be'ez Hashem, see everyone next week. Okay. Kol tov.
Recording stopped.
Yeah, actually, Ramosh says, but I would be remiss if I didn't make the following addition to this whole presentation. In a way, this is a great irony because Adam HaKohen Levinson was trying to ensnare the Chafetz Chaim to make sure there never would be a Chafetz Chaim, a Sefer Chafetz Chaim, a Mishnah Brura. And the ultimate irony is that his very own son-in-law, Joshua Steinberg, ended up being the censor for Sefer Chafetz Chaim, and he did it begrudgingly, and Baal Karchai, against his will, he had to submit and give the final approval of Sefer Chafetz Chaim. So Levinson thought he would ensnare the Chafetz Chaim to prevent any great contribution, to prevent this budding Talmud Chacham from ever developing into the great Ilan Gadol. No, not only was he not able to stop him, the ultimate irony is that his very own son-in-law had to give the stamp of approval to Sefer Chafetz Chaim. This is an example of what we call Al Ha'etz Asher Heichen Loi Tana Loi Heichen, what we call right back at ya. Bez Hashem, one day we have to have a Sefer just on the topic of the instances of the divine irony throughout history, from the beginning of time all the way up to Sefer Chafetz Chaim, and even in our own times, one who studies the way history is developing in our own times will see the great divine irony that when the enemy tries to threaten us and harm us, not only is it futile, but Hashem uses that and harnesses that to bring about great salvation for the Jewish people. And here's another example, the irony of the publishing of Sefer Chafetz Chaim that ultimately was censored and was approved by the son-in-law of Adam HaKohen Levinson. Wishing everyone bracha v'hatzlacha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.